You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Jeff Zacharias has been with us tonight. He is a professional psychotherapist, and is the owner and director of the New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Park and Lincoln Square. And one of the things you mentioned earlier about how people are feeling this weekend is about love and language and dance. And yeah. One of my favorite things, and one of the reasons we do Music Mondays, is because I like to dance. I like to hear music. It's the kind of thing that takes you away. We have Eric Howell in the studio with us, who is he's a solo acoustic passat. You've done everything, is what I'm reading here.
Do it all.
You and I have done parallel careers. I'm a stand-up comic, and I've done the passahat comedy. I've done the corporate gigs, the on the middle of a dance floor, no one knew a show was starting kind of a gig.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the middle of a cornfield, whatever, someone's having a picnic. And the professional gigs, where you've got people sitting in seats and they're there for a performance. And we also have Brandon C. Price in studio with us. And I love having Brandon on Monday nights because, one, you always – one of the reasons I was glad that you were on the show tonight because of what's happened over the weekend is because I always feel like you bring something to the conversation that perhaps I might not have. And that really – and I hate that it's always something kind of tragic like this where I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that Brandon C. Price is on the show. But the reason you're here on Mondays is also because of the music. And you have such a passion for music. And I'm sure that you had similar situations. Eric, where are you from originally?
Born here in Chicago, born on the South Side.
Where'd you go to high school? I ask every time.
And then very, very quickly in life, we moved out to the suburbs.
Do you want to tell us which suburbs? You sound so vague about it.
Well.
Like the suburbs, like it was some sort of.
It's its own planet out there, you know what I mean? So we moved out to Glen Ellyn when I was a kid. So Glen Ellyn's my hometown, yeah.
Glen Ellyn. And when did you start playing music?
Probably when I was about 13.
Mm-hmm. And your first instrument? I always ask these things.
Okay, well, then I told a lie. I started playing music with the viola when I was in second grade.
The viola?
Yeah, because I was totally into John Williams music, Star Wars, yes. Superman. And I just was obsessed with, like, you know, like what we now know as sort of like the pop music version of proper symphonic music.
So, right.
You know, I wasn't into Beethoven or Wagner or anything until much later.
What was the first thing you played on your viola? Were you striving to play?
I was like always complaining to the music director. Yeah. It's like, why can't we be playing these John Williams pieces? And he's like, because this is second grade orchestra. So then I moved on to trumpet. I played the cornet because I wanted to play Bill Conti pieces, you know, Rocky. And I was really upset with the band director delivered the sheet music to all the kids. And mind you, this is like, I think at this point it was about fifth grade. And in my mind, I was like ready for bum 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 bum. And they hand out the sheet music to us, and it's dun 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 dun.
Now, for someone who's tone deaf like I am.
It sounded a little like it.
A little bit like that. I love that you were so enraged by the fact that you weren't going to play the music.
Enraged!
Well, the fact that I asked you, when did you start playing music, you said 13 instead of second grade or fifth grade. And I'm guessing it's because that's when you started playing what you wanted to play.
Guitar. Yeah.
So if I asked you to play a little John Williams, what would you play on your guitar?
Oh, I would play... I would play... That's corny, but it's, you know, I swear to God, I want that music like on my deathbed.
That's the music.
So soothing.
So Superman is your deathbed music. Took me a moment, by the way. Took me a moment.
Maybe. It might be in the top five.
Not E.T.? Nothing from E.T.?
No, nothing from E.T.
Anybody else in the studio have deathbed music?
I'll walk back down the aisle after getting married to the celebration theme at the end of each Star Wars movie, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
If that will be how I decide whether I should marry that person or not, if they're into that idea.
By the way, how...
Great call, actually, because that's called... it's like coronation or something
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How similar is the music in... Okay, and this is just because I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen last week. How much is that similar, the romance music in Star Wars? And in Raiders, by the way, there's a whenever it's a he she thing, that moment the I Love You, I Know. It's the same in Raiders of the Lost Ark, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I Love You, I Know is Han Solo.
I know.
Right, but
so in Raiders,
the music's very similar, but if it's not broken, don't fix it. Right.
Okay, I'm just saying. Just asking.
But it is funny you say that, though, because that's why it's pop music. Or, you know, it's film score pop music, because we can all say that about bands that we don't know religiously. It's like, I don't know, didn't all their stuff sound the same?
But or if you're tone deaf like me.
or both, you know. Exactly. But if you're into the band, you're people are zealous
about it. You know
the nuances.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I can imagine. Brandon, what was some of the first music that made you want to be a musician? What was the early music for you?
Well, when I finally was allowed to listen to something other than Christian rock...
I think you grew up that was in my house.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, that was my house.
And now we're free.
Jeff is from Kentucky. Brandon is from both Alabama and Texas. I'm not sure which first, which you...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, I would definitely say Zeppelin IV. I stole from my dad the Back in Black album from AC/DC. Talk about a band that sounds all the same. They have an incredible skill of making, 13 or 14 albums that are just the same song. And they're all good songs.
Yeah. And changing singers, and it's still good.
Yeah, still the same. But some of that classic rock stuff, and then obviously like the Beatles and that kind of very intro to rock music. And then I got super into bluegrass and folk, and I've kind of never really left that area.
And that was it for you?
It's the best. It's the most talented on a guitar. You know what I mean? People are, Jimmy Page. Like, no, put Doc Watson on.
Yeah, there's a lot of intricacy that's involved in that. And Jeff, what's your music from that you clung to as a kid?
I grew up having to listen to that same stuff, but my guilty pleasure was Rush.
Oh!
It was probably, and still is, one of my... I'm not even guilty about it. I just love them. They're the greatest.
My guilty pleasure once in a while is REO Speedwagon. So, and no one ever, people always go, why do you always hear Rush? Someone say Rush and you say REO Speedwagon. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, who's heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who
REO.
You've been messing around. Yeah, that's REO Speedwagon. Yep. Do you notice how I didn't sing it? You know why? Tone deaf. More after this on 720 WGN with friends of mine who are not tone deaf. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We're hanging out with Jeff Zacharias, who is a professional psychotherapist and is the director of New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Square and Lincoln Park. You can go to new-hope-recovery.com and to his website, jeffzacharias.com. He'll be joining us at the Pride Parade.
Yeah,
he was just going to watch. I told him to walk with us.
We're
going to get our Bowie and our Prince on.
That's right.
I've got a rainbow cape. Is there ever a concern about people like who are of the straight community sort of coming in, and is that weird at all? I've always wondered about that. I've never asked anybody.
You know what? The more the merrier. If you're an ally or supporter, come on. And this year, I think it's going to be more important than ever to show that sort of community and stand up to this.
Yep, it's a rough day. Brandon, are you in the Pride Parade?
Yeah, every year, absolutely. My roommate and I always go. She came out 4 years ago.
Do you want to walk with us?
But you people get up so early.
I stay up late, though.
Right. Yeah, I'll meet you there. Our cell phones won't work, though, so we'll never meet up.
We'll meet you there. Performing this Saturday at Martyrs, Eric Howell's in the studio, and he's been very patient. He's been hanging out with us. Yeah. I hope we got to enjoy some good food from our friends from the Lincoln Park Chamber of Commerce. Right now, here he is playing One Too Many.
It never gets old when the hero's down and out in the last scene, like Rocky Balboa when he hit the ground in the final round in the ring. And Mickey cried, stayed down, but he staggered to his feet when they heard the trumpet sound. Felt like my own victory. But as I left my seat, I was just ordinary me. And seen as I came crawling up to the finish line, someone said false start, had one too many dreams that broke my heart. I'm giving up, I'm breaking down upon my bended knees. I've suffered enough, I've been kicked around throughout my history. And I loved her from afar since we were both 17. But she laid out in my car with some 6'3" Marine. After all she meant to me, I guess it wasn't meant to be. Not for me. But you won't find me staring down your wishing well. It's all dried up and dark, 'cause I've had one too many dreams that broke my heart. I've been turned down for the leading role, and you turned up a star, and that's just one too many dreams that broke my heart. So if I jump the shark, they won't say I've passed my peak. If I'm thrown out of this bar, there'll be no paparazzi, no surreal reality for this non-celebrity. And that's good news to me, 'cause if they offer up the leading role, you can take my part, 'cause I've had one too many dreams that broke my heart. I won't find me staring out a wishing well. It's all dried up and dark, and that's just one too many dreams that broke my heart. 'Cause I've had one too many dreams, one too many dreams. I've had one too many dreams that broke my heart.
Yeah. That's Eric Howell. And come back over and sit with us, Eric. Wow, that was it was funny. I was watching Brandon and Jeff watching you play, and I took a little bit of video of you, and there's such a wonderful contradiction of the things that you're saying and the sort of almost jubilance that you have of singing things that I think all of us have felt, one too many dreams that have broken our hearts. And that's okay.
Well, you know, we live to tell the tale.
Exactly.
We live to tell the tale.
Is that what you want people to know, is that you live to tell the tale?
You do, you know, hang on. That's the name of my new record, Hang On.
And that's exactly what Jeff was prescribing, actually, as coping, is hang on. It gets better. Or, you know, I mean, like, again, you live to tell a tale. Brandon, what were you, for you, was it also the, not just the lyrics, but the way he was playing the guitar, I suspect?
Yeah, no, there's just a lot of, I mean, you, not that I'm anywhere near that proficient, but plays the G right, wraps the thumb, a lot of really cool walking up and down.
He knows, like, the lingo.
I just, it was very, very proficient on guitar, really fun to just watch, even if you weren't listening to it. It was really cool. Thank you very much for that.
Hey, thank you.
That's the other reason I have Brandon C. Price, is he says things like, the playing G right, rapping the walk-ins, bringing
it's not that Christian rock G with the pink. I can't do it.
But what does he mean when you appreciated that, but what does he mean? Because I know that you have a clip on the guitar. So I'm not at all, I know nothing about guitars. My son and my husband are sort of testing the waters with playing music. But what is the clip on there, may I ask? And how does that affect?
It's a capo, and it allows you to, you know, when you're playing guitar, especially when you first learn, you learn what they call the cowboy chords, and they're just all down in one position. You know,
all the Garth Brooks chords?
Close to, and close to the headstock and country music and all that. And it allows you to, I changed my strings before I came over here.
Fancy.
Brave.
They're a little out of tune. But it what happens with this capo that I'm wearing is it allows you to, you put it on the guitar neck anywhere on the neck that you want, and you can still use those same cowboy chords, putting your fingers in the same place, but it'll change the key.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. My guitar teacher from when I was a kid used to call it cheating.
Yeah.
He's like, just learn how to play it in the other keys.
Yeah, what is that about those memories you have from your childhood? Again, we talked a little bit about, well, that's, and that goes back to language. I know right. that I'm not trying to force any conversation, but it is funny. I think as artists, as whether you're a musician or a comedian or a talk show host or even working right. with people who are trying to recover, there are those things that sort of hang that fog over everything that you do.
Right.
Because the fact that you even called back to the teacher saying that you're cheating, do you think of that almost every time you put that clip on?
No, but and he was a great teacher. You know, without this guy, I wouldn't be here right, you know, right now at all. He was young and cool and yeah, played in bands.
Where are his broken dreams?
Right? Oh, yeah. Right? He's got them, no doubt. We all do. Yeah. So, you know, he's retired now. He's an old man. He's a sweet old man. But yeah, I mean, you do. That's what happens when you're a kid. And I also realize, too, that some teachers, you know, we have all those teachers that they put on a front.
Yeah.
And I've since become really good friends with some of my, you know, high school teachers and stuff. And I was just like a punk in high school. You know, I moved out of the house. I lived on my own. I had my own apartment when I was in high school. And the teachers used to they'd always say, I always see you roaming the halls, Eric. You're going to make it with us this year, Eric. You're going to make it. And, you know, I graduated with like 5 more credits than necessary. But still, I had my own apartment. They knew, like, this guy's trouble.
How many of us were trouble in high school? Just out of curiosity. We were all trouble.
Guilty. Yeah. I know you were trouble.
I was more like not the roaming the hallways kind of trouble. I was the in-class trouble yeah. that other people got caught for, not me. That's the secret. Just so you mm-hmm. know.
I was truant in an alternative school when I graduated.
There you go. Do you want to share?
I was voted most talkative, and my mother was horrified. Oh. She thought that was the worst thing ever.
Most talkative?
Most chatty.
Yeah, she was so upset. It was like trauma for her.
That you're the, man.
I couldn't have been any, you know, I could have set the place on fire and she wouldn't.
That would have been better than most talkative.
Talkative? Yeah, how could you?
How would you express yourself?
I know, right?
But, you know, I have to, so to bookend that, I just have to say that some of those teachers, like, they were really hard on the kids. Mm-hmm. And then later in life, I'm, like, drinking beer with them and going, like, yeah, man, you're so funny and you're cool. And, like, how did that end up happening? And he said, you know, the first year, I was nice to all the kids, and they rolled me.
Yeah.
Totally took advantage of me. So he's like, I adopted this mean guy persona, and the kids that were interested in higher education, like, they kind of saw through that, and the troublemakers cowered. So I was a little bit of both. I hid in the music room.
And when did you start writing your own music? Because you really, the lyrics are wonderful.
Thank you. That one's a new one, but I started writing songs when I was about 11, like honestly, probably 11 or 12, I was hearing songs.
Okay, so after you were obsessed with playing any of the John Williams music or any of the, who wrote the Rocky theme song?
Bill Conti.
And before you started playing guitar. So I like the difference. I love that. See, the thing is, that's how much of a passion you have. You have those kind of locked into your memory of the stages that you started developing it. I mean, I'm guessing, Brandon, you have those moments of whether it's, even if it's having expressed yourself in a certain way, like, I have to be this person. Not even knowing what that is fully yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think mine's more of just like steps that I can remember specifically that created a complete new pathway and a complete new bend that wasn't coming. I wanted to be in band really bad. I played the tenor sax. And I got kicked out freshman year, and I needed the arts credit. So I just kind of wandered into a drama 2 class, and that was obviously fairly game changing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't play the sax, but that's okay.
Well, I'm happy for the path that you ended up on. Did you have anything, Jeff? Because I was not a musician. I never could play an instrument. Did you ever play an instrument?
I played the alto sax. I played the piano. I played a number of things.
Do you still play any instruments?
I don't. Although I have a piano in my house, I don't play.
I'm coming over to your house and we're going to play. I don't play piano.
I'd be thrilled.
I play
Come
nothing.
On over.
All right, then. Fine. Yeah. Jeff, I know that you have to head out because you have clients in the
morning.
Yes, you are working in the morning. Again, we've been talking about the tragic events. And tragic events doesn't even, like, I can't, there's not language anymore
right.
for the fact that, and this isn't even one where we can't say that we're numb to this or we're starting to get used to it. There was a congressman today that said he will no longer stand for a moment of silence because our silence is what's perpetuating
killing
this.
People.
Yeah. What do you want people to know, regardless of what their emotions are when they are experiencing this? trauma, because it is a trauma.
It is trauma. And, you know, just to know that exactly what he was speaking to, there's help everywhere, and all you have to do is reach out. And there's somebody who's experienced very similar things, and there are people who want to just help and give voice and just, you know that it gets better. It really does.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me tonight is musician Eric Howell, and we're going to talk about his new album and play some more music after our break in a little bit. We also have Brandon C. Price, who is riding Sidecar tonight, and he goes, are we going to talk guns? And that's what I love about you. That was
Thank you.
You know, no, I think that's an important conversation to have tonight. I think it's an important conversation, not just tonight after a tragic event, after violence. I think that it's a conversation we continue to have. People want to know why, right? They want to know, why is it about guns? Why is it being politicized? Well, there's somebody who works here at WGN Radio and who has firsthand knowledge of not just working in a nightclub, has actually been the near victim of gun violence. Brian Altimer is on the line right now. He's a producer for The Rokan Show. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Patty.
And you recently had a big news story about yourself. Is that weird to say? I've had a news story about myself. That's not really the phrasing of it, but somebody pulled a gun on you.
Yeah, that happened a few weeks ago. It was kind of it was scary, and it was surreal, actually. I didn't think it would happen to me.
You've started wearing a bulletproof vest. Is that right?
Yeah, I did.
And you have military training, and you know, I've been hearing from a lot of people who are either in the military now, have served before, and a lot of them seem to really resent the idea that this is about gun control. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's necessary. It's not about gun control. It's about this guns getting into the wrong hands of people. You know, it's like, no matter what you do, no matter how many laws that you put out there, somehow guns are always going to find their way into the hands of the wrong people. So I think what they need to do, in my opinion, is to enforce the laws that are already on the books and prosecute those that violate gun laws, you know. And I think the minute they start doing that properly, especially here in Chicago, you'll start to tackle the problem. You know, you have people that get arrested here, you know, on a daily. You know, you hear these stories about, you know, kids that, well, not necessarily kids, but people that, you know, get arrested, you know, for guns or for a murder, and you find out their rap sheet is about, you know, 8 pages long, and they have prior gun charges and stuff like that. So right. I think the problem is enforcing the laws on the books and
enforcing, prosecuting, and sentencing seem to be the biggest problems.
Yeah. that's the biggest problem, you know, because they just, you know, it's like a revolving door.
Well, I know Brandon has a lot of thoughts on this too. When people say that this type of weapon isn't necessary, isn't the kind of thing that it's like a war weapon, a military style.
That's a tough line to draw, though. You know, everyone has freedom of speech except these three things you can't say. And I don't necessarily disagree that a fully automatic or semi-automatic weapons aren't, you know, not everyone needs one per se. But when you start drawing lines, you start infringing a little bit more and a little bit more and giving people a little bit more power to start taking your rights away. And it's a fine line.
Yeah, and yeah. Brian, what do you think about the AR-15, I think, is the weapon that was used?
Well, I mean, those type of weapons, I mean, honestly, I mean, who necessarily needs an AR-15? You know, I mean, me personally, a gun is a gun. If you know how to shoot, you know how to shoot. You know, you can have a 9mm Beretta, and you can pretty much achieve the same effectiveness with a Beretta as you can with AR-15, you know. So I personally think you really don't need one. But if somebody wants to go out and buy one, then, you know, right now, I mean, you're well within your right to go buy one. So,
right. Including someone who has had an FBI background check on him, who passed those investigations and is an American citizen, as this man was in Florida.
Yeah, I think that's what really gets me, is that how can this guy get, you know, investigated at least twice by the FBI and not be on some kind of flag list? So I think they need to somehow figure out, you know, how to, you know, fix that. you know, because I feel if you get investigated by the FBI, that's pretty big. Because nobody gets investigated by the FBI every day. That's right. Something pretty big. So,
but if they clear him, I mean, they can't prevent him from. I mean, that's the same thing. Unless he's convicted, I mean, the laws are for gun ownership, unless you're convicted of a felony or convicted of domestic violence. I mean, there are certain criteria. So, being cleared by the FBI does not preclude you from having a gun. It simply does not right now under the laws we have.
Right, and that's my whole thing is, like, if you get cleared by the FBI, it still should be some kind of time before you're able to go purchase a weapon, you know. And even if you are clear and you're able to purchase a weapon, I think this guy purchased, like, two guns from two different places in less than a couple of days.
Right.
So, you know, that's a red flag to me. I mean, if you're buying multiple guns that quickly, why are you buying that many guns, you know, to begin with, you know? So, I mean, it's a lot of things that need to go into place. And I also believe there needs to be some kind of a mental evaluation when you go and before you buy a weapon, you know, are you mentally there to even own a weapon? Because sometimes, you know, you're not mentally all the way there. So I think if they somehow try to, you know, add that into it.
Right.
You know, there's so many things that need to be done. But I think at this point, you know, especially then with the NRA, you're going to have to battle them.
I think that's what's so daunting to people. Well, you have a job aside from WGN Radio that I think is something. I mean, working at a bar as security, and we call bouncers, but ultimately you are security. What kind of bar do you work at? I won't ask you the location. I'm guessing for safety reasons you wouldn't want to.
Well, no, I don't mind. I mean, it's a bar in Boys Town, and it's primarily a gay bar, but everybody comes in and out of there. And I've been there for a few years now, head of security there. And in light of everything that's happened, honestly, the night that it happened, we were actually closing the bar. We were, because I'm not necessarily on my phone that often when I'm actually working. So we shut the bar down. And I actually looked at my phone and saw that it happened. I took about an hour or so before I sent out a mass email to all the employees of the bar and let them know, like, look, this is what we need to do. And it was this instinct of me doing it. It was like, hey, this is what we need to do to ensure that we are safe. You know, I mean, there's certain things that needs to be done at any bar, you know, especially when you're, you know, if you're getting that many people in one place, you have to do certain things. And I just wanted to let them know that they're safe. And that they don't have anything to worry about.
Have you ever felt as though your location was a target? I mean, has there ever been, you know, people coming by and yelling things at your patrons or trying to start fights?
You know what? I've seen the worst I've seen as far as, you know, homophobia in that area is people probably riding past and shouting stuff out. But that was probably the worst thing I've seen as far as, like, actual violence. Mm-hmm. No, not really. It is, like, located near, like, you know, the red line. So, I mean, you do get that type of element, people coming off the red line and they, you know, may want to, you know, rob somebody or whatever. But never, like, just blatant, just a hate crime. You know, never that.
Will you change anything in the next few days, next few weeks, in light of what happened this weekend?
Well, what I do, you know, as far as what I instruct my guys to do is, and it's pretty much universal, I think, with any bar, is that if, you know, people come in with bags or anything that you can fit. If you can, my rule of thumb is if you can fit a flask in it, we need to check it. Because one of the things that I don't want is people, you know, smuggling in alcohol or anything in a bar, especially weapons. So, I mean, and people tend to come from work or they come from the gym. So they may come to the bar and they have a big duffel bag or they may have, I've seen people that came in with like suitcases. You know,
what?
They're coming. Yeah, I mean, they're coming from an airport. You know, so I mean, I check everything. You know, I make you open up the bag, and I'll go through it. You know, and they have to understand. I'm not going through it to be nosy. I'm going through it so I make sure you're not smuggling something in here. You're not supposed to be smuggling that. You know, and about 97% of the time, people don't have a problem with it. You may get the occasional person that, you know, take offense that you're going through their stuff. But, you know, if you want to, you know, come party, you come with a big, gigantic bag, then I think you should leave. Honestly, I think you should leave that type of stuff at home. But I understand people are always on the go.
Go light. You know? I mean, who wants to go dancing with a roller bag?
Oh, man, you wouldn't believe. You would not believe.
I would have three drinks and leave it wherever I was.
Yeah. How do you?
I'll never see it again.
Yeah, how do you remember to bring that with you?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it all.
Yeah, I want to thank Brian Altimore so much for joining us. We have to have you on more regularly, sir. And if you're up this late anyway, you know where I work. You can come hang out with us sometime.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah, I thank you so much. And again, how long have you worked in Boys Town? I'm just curious.
It's about 2 years.
About 2 years. And you know, so many people think of this attack at Pulse in Orlando as, you know, they've made some religious connections to it. But you know, what we're learning now is that it is an act of hate, a homophobic act of hate. What would you want to tell people about the people that you serve at the bar that you provide security for?
I mean, the people we serve, I mean, honestly, it's a special place. And I honestly think that, you know, when you come into my bar, it's an experience. You know, you go there for the experience, you know, and I know you will enjoy yourself.
Right.
but it is an experience, and people don't look at you sideways, and you go in there and you just have fun. And I know Pride is coming up, and I know people are kind of skeptical actually going to Pride after this, but I urge everybody, you know, I mean, even if you're not gay, you know, I mean, I'm not gay, but it's like, if you want to come out and celebrate,
you know, right.
Yeah. Just come out and celebrate, you know, and enjoy yourself. I mean, CPD, I'm quite sure they're going to be, amping up security in that area. As a matter of fact, I go to a meeting in the 19th district tomorrow and talk to the commanders out there in regards to everything that's happening. But that's pretty much every Pride. They have they make us have a meeting and anything, you know, stuff like that. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah. So just come out and enjoy it as normal. I mean, you can't let the terrorists win. You know, the minute you start, you know, cowering in your house because you think something's going to happen to you is when you lost. You know, just come out and just have fun.
I agree. Thank you so much, Brian Altimore. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Come hang out and have some pizza with us sometime, will you?
Oh, yeah, I will.
All right. Have a good night, sir. Get some rest. You got to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Fire in the neighborhood, people are starting to run. Somebody shout about God is good, and maybe Jesus will come. I saw my city, it was under attack, could have been Hollywood. They showed the footage on CNN from every angle, round and round. The cul-de-sac melting ice down the nation's back. But if God has a plan, then I don't understand about his love for every man. It comes and goes, comes and goes. If there's countries like a seed planted deep inside of me, and I'll still believe that love will make it grow. I see a window.
sex. Don't go in there, it could be booby trap. In 60 seconds, this place is past. Now all the reasons that you knew before have left you wondering more and more and more. If you're safe at all, any place that you call home, oh no. But if God has a plan, then I don't understand how his love for every man that comes and goes, comes and goes. If this country is like a seed planted deep inside of me, and I still believe that love will make it grow.
Eric Howell, he'll be performing at Martyrs on Saturday with, and that was his song Seed, which is yet to be recorded. When we come back, we'll talk to him about the album he has coming out and more of his music on 720 WGN.
And so you found it all, and you're talking about fate. You'll tell anyone about your plan to set the date. But you're pushing too hard, and you're giving it all away, and you're making me talk about it. Yeah, you're making the levee break when I was perfectly flawed in inside shape. You gave all those things about me. Okay, but see, it's taken too long, and I'm wondering why you wait. I see you're thinking about getting older, but I'm still trying to act my age, and we're laying all these years to waste. But I know you've long moved on now, cause I'm trying hard to forget your pain and live through these mistakes. Cause there ain't nothing that's gone, that's anything you can replace. I see you walking arm in arm, but I'm still standing, standing in the same space, living in the wrong place, wishing there was something else to say. Well, you know you were my Bible book and page. All my sins, they live within your face.
started, how you would come to doubt it, I would live without it. And I know you've long moved on, baby, but wait. 'Cause I'm dying to forget your name and live through these mistakes. 'Cause there ain't nothing you got that's anything I really need. But everything I really want, you keep waving in front of me. But see, I'm thinking too hard. I'm giving it all away. You're acting blind to what we lost. But still your eyes, they show a trace of you, and I found you, of you when you were something else to me.
That's Eric Howell. He'll be at Martyrs on Saturday with the release of his new album, King Mixer. The show is at 8 p.m. And I'll be there. I'm going to try to be there. I put myself down as going. I started out as interested. And then I heard your second and third songs, and I was like, I'm going. And I've invited you, Brandon C. Price, but I know that you have a show at MCL, but your show is at 10:30. Do you have a show before that?
What day?
Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, you do. All right. But I can go to see, I can see his release at Martyrs at 8 p.m. That's his new album, King Mixer. And then I can make my way over to Vamp at MCL and see the great music, comedy, and drinking show.
Yep.
Did I get it?
That's it.
All right, then.
I'm super proud.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much.